yours today, in the name of Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Many of you probably already know this about me, whether I've mentioned it in passing or you've heard me actually preach about this before, but I was a swimmer growing up. I was a swimmer. I swam on the swim team. I played water polo growing up. And you know, so for me, like, when you go to the pool and you have that stale chlorine smell, you know what I'm talking about? Like, that brings all those memories back to me. Like, I just, like, that was my high school. All those memories of the poolside at swim meets and tournaments and those numerous hours I spent at the pool. And on top of that, that whole time when I was on the swim team and I was playing water polo, doing all that stuff, I also was a lifeguard at the pool. So when I wasn't there for my normal stuff, you know, I was working there. So naturally, if you want to know anything about what I did in high school, I was at the pool. That's what I did. And so as a lifeguard, I would spend a lot of time, a lot of hours, and one of the things I got to do was oversee swim lessons. And so I would be there lifeguarding as kids were there for swim lessons, and so they'd be there learning to float on their back and learning to blow bubbles and learning just in general to be more confident in the water, which I think is a good thing because water can be scary. Does everyone know how to swim in here? If you know how to swim, yeah. If you don't know how to swim, you're like, I don't know how to swim. It's no good. Because if you don't know how to swim, water can be intimidating, and water can be treacherous. And so I always thought that was really cool to see these kids learning to swim and becoming more confident in the water. But I also saw these kids that weren't quite there yet. And so in all this time that I would spend at the pool, I also saw these little ones that would never, ever, ever enter a pool without a parent accompanying them. And you know exactly what this looks like if you've ever spent time at a pool. And actually, it's perfect that we have the stage up here because this is like a perfect visual. So you have the kid who's kind of inching their way towards the edge of the pool, right? Mom or dad is just, you know, patiently waiting with their arms ready to go. And, you know, they get like about here, and then this is when things get real scary, right? Because that's a long way down, and we don't know what's going to happen down there. And then they kind of start inching closer and closer. They maybe make like one toe, you know, over the edge so that they could launch themselves if they really want to. And that's about where they go. And then once they get to this point, the arms go like this, right? This is like, I have to reach mom or dad. If I don't, I will die. And so they start reaching out, and they start kind of inching forward, and then they jump, right? They jump, and mom and dad is there ready to catch them. Jumping, expectantly, jumping into this unknown, jumping into something that they might fear, but they're trusting that mom or dad is going to be there to catch them. It might look a little bit something like this, right? Little kid just jumping, ready to go. And I think this is just it's a beautiful picture of this relationship between a parent and a child. And it's this picture of love. It's a picture of trust. And at least here, it's this picture of mutual joy. And this morning, I'm going to contend as well that as we see this picture, I think this is also, it gives us a picture of what happens when we give. We give to God. We give to the church. We give in sacrifice. We give in thanksgiving. That's what we're talking about in this series. But what I think is happening when we give is far more profound than sometimes I think we experience or realize or recognize. See, in this picture, I think we begin to get a glimpse of what's really happening here. There's a glimpse of this relationship between us and a loving Heavenly Father as we take this leap of faith in giving. And so as we talk about giving in this series before Advent, at the core of that, I want us to recognize something, that at the core of this, we're talking about a relationship. It's a relationship between us and our Father. And so what I want us to do is, as we think about this relationship, and we think about giving, this morning I want us to reflect. We're going to reflect upon this image, and we're going to reflect upon this image, especially in light of what we read this morning from 2 Corinthians chapter 9. So first, what I want you to do is take a moment and look at the picture. What do you see? So what's the first thing that you notice when you look at this picture? I'm going to take my own leap of faith here, and I'm actually going to ask you to respond and tell me what's the first thing that you see, while bearing in mind this is more or less scripted, okay? So you have to have the right answers. Okay, so when you look at this picture, what's the first thing that stands out to you? The kid's smile, right? That's the first thing I saw too. When I see, look at this picture, the first thing that sticks out to me as I look at this picture, as I see an expression of joy and happiness on that child's face, right? As this child is jumping, and he seems almost carefree. Like, most of the kids I've seen do this don't look like that. It's a little bit more like, you know, a little more concerned. But this kid is so excited. He's jumping, loving this experience. And that brings us to verse 7 in our reading this morning. So if you have your Bible, follow along. We're going to be reading a little bit in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. It's on page 968. And we're going to start by looking at verse 7. Paul writes in verse 7, "Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." For God loves a cheerful giver. So we'll come back to 2 Corinthians 9 in a little bit. But God loves a cheerful giver. Now imagine for a moment, as we look at this picture, imagine this boy isn't jumping, but rather being pushed. How might that expression change? Or as someone mentioned to me last night, what if he had a rope on him and you were kind of pulling him in? Pushing or pulling, the expression's going to change a lot when it's not his choice to jump, right? There's a lot more fear and anxiety. It certainly wouldn't be a happy expression. See, when we give, our giving isn't meant to be something that we're forced to do. It's not something that we're supposed to be pressured into. Yet, when we give, it's something that we're doing in trust, in thanksgiving to our God. See, it's a recognition of something, that we recognize that everything that we have, everything in this entire world belongs to Him. I belong to Him. My life and my body belongs to Him. And so we recognize that we can obediently, in loving obedience, give back some of which He's given to us. It's that beautiful picture that Pastor Dan gave us last week of the child bringing this plastic donut to Dad in joyful giving. And as we take this time over the next couple weeks to decide in our hearts what God is leading us to give, I want to remind you and encourage you to take one of those commitment cards. If you didn't get a commitment card last week, they're in your news and notes. They look a little something like this. And I want you to take it home, put it somewhere where you can see it. In my house, it's on my fridge because I spend a lot of time in the fridge. But put it somewhere where you're going to see it. Talk about it with your family. Pray about it. And then you can decide in your heart how you and your family are led to give. And then in a couple weeks, when we gather those together and we bring them forward, you can come with a smile on your face and joyfully offer that, cheerfully offer that back to God. But as we talk about that, I think as we look at giving, and we look at this picture even, there's something to be said about fear, right? There's something to be said about stepping out in faith like this, because we might even want to give cheerfully. We may want to be a cheerful giver, but there are so many fears and concerns in our lives that sometimes we feel like we can't, right? How am I going to pay for my bills? How am I going to put gas in my car, pay for my groceries? These are all real things. These are real life concerns, real fears in our lives, and fear so often can really be a contributing factor to the way we do things and how we act and the things that we do. Because if we think about this child or any child that's standing over the edge of a pool taking a jump, what's causing their actions? Is it fear? Is it faith? I think I think it's really kind of maybe a bit of both. Looking at this image again, I think seeing this son jumping into his father's arms leads me to see something else. Notice how close the father is to the edge of the pool. Notice how close he is to his son. The son doesn't need to jump far. It's really more just kind of a drop than a jump. And yet dad is there to catch him. And while that child is jumping with a smile on his face, I imagine that the moments before he took that jump, there was a little bit of anticipation. There's a little bit of anxiety of not knowing what's going to happen. And that's real. Regardless of how far the jump is, it's always going to be a little scary at first to step out in faith. That first step can be a fearful one. But when we take that step, we're also taking a step in trusting God. And that leads me to verse 8 in 2 Corinthians 9. So we're going to look at verse 8 for a moment. Paul writes, "And God is able." I just love that reminder to us that whatever we're talking about, God is able. God is able to make all grace abound to you. So that having all sufficiency, and if you're in the Pew Bible and you see that little 9 there and you look at the bottom, it says, or all contentment. This word can be sufficiency or contentment. So that having all sufficiency or contentment in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. I think that the two key words here are abound and sufficiency. And the word here for sufficiency, like we just noticed, is also a word that can be used for contentment, which I really like because here we have a picture of a father who always has more for us. He's got more love, more grace, more mercy. God has poured out the riches of his kingdom to us in his son Jesus. And so the promise in these words is that in Jesus, there's always more. That's what abound means. When we see abound, we should think there's always more in Jesus. There's always more grace. There's always more forgiveness in the costly blood of Jesus that was poured out for you for the forgiveness of your sins. There's always more. And even on top of that, God's promise here is not only is there grace and forgiveness, but that there is sufficiency, that there is contentment in all things that we too might abound in good works. The message here is this. We love because God loved first. We love because God loved us first. We give because God first gave so generously, so abundantly to us in giving his very begotten Son, his one and only Son as a ransom for many. God's grace abounds in our lives that we too might abound in love to our neighbor and to those around us. Now, it's really easy for me to stand up here and talk about that and say, you know, God will provide as we give generously back to him. But I also know that that doesn't fix or change any of the very real fears and anxieties and concerns that we have in our lives. The reality is that some of us probably just don't have the freedom in our finances to give in the ways that we even might want to. But here's the thing. When we talk about giving and stewardship, we get really caught up in talking about finances. But God's gifts to us are far more varied than our bank accounts. And it's a cliche. I know it's a cliche, but it's a cliche because it's true. That God has given us time and talents and treasures to give back. And we often spend all our time talking about treasures. But we can give back to God in so many other ways as well. So maybe you're thinking today that you want to give, But you just don't have the room in your budget to allow for that right now. And I'm sure many of us are in that spot right now. But that doesn't mean that we can't give. We can all give. And God calls all of us to give generously and cheerfully in thanksgiving. So here's what I want us to do this morning. We're going to take a moment, and I'm going to have on the screen, and you'll see in your news and notes. And by the way, in your news and notes, I don't know if you know this, but there's a little part of the sheet that is for sermon notes, which you can take sermon notes if you want, and you can get an A. Just kidding. But on that sheet at the top, there is this little link, and it's a bit link, so it's kind of a shortened link. And if you take that little link and literally just the bit.ly/St. Luke's-service, if you take that and you plug it into the URL on your phone or at your computer at home, it's going to take you to a little form that we put together. It's a form of service interests. We recognize that people can give back to God in more than just their finances, and we want to equip you to do that. So you'll see in this form ways to get little areas that you could get involved, whether it's hospitality or working with youth or all sorts of different things. And so I want you to take probably, it'll probably take 2 minutes to fill it out. I want you to take a moment now to do it on your phone or take your news and notes home and do it at home and take those 2 minutes to take a look at that form and think about ways that you can give back in your time and your talents as well. I recognize also that some of you may be like, internet? No, that's not going to happen. So I took the liberty of printing off a couple of these forms as well that are available at the Welcome Center for you to pick up. And if we run out, that's great. We can print off more. So if you want one of those, let me know, let Pastor Dan know or Jan in the office know. We'll be sure to get that to you. In that form also, there's a little checkbox about emails, receiving emails. I don't know if you guys have been receiving an email from Pastor Dan every week about things happening here at St. Luke's. There's a lot of stuff going on here in the ministry, and we want you to know about it, and we want you to be a part of it. So if you're getting those emails already, awesome. We want you to be with us in that. And if you're not, but would like to, I encourage you to check that box in that form as well so that we can be keeping you informed about what's happening in the ministry here at St. Luke's and how you can be a part of that as well. So take that time to fill that form out as we, in this time and in this series, talk about how we give as God's people. Now, I'm gonna come back here, and we're going to go back to reflecting a little bit. My last reflection as we look at this image comes from 2 Corinthians 9, verses 10 and 11. And so I'll start by reading that. Paul writes in verse 10, "He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God." Paul writes here that as we give, in giving, there is this growth, there is this enrichment of our lives, because I think we give, one, because God says so. There's some things like that. We do things because God tells us to do it. So we give, one, because God tells us to. I think we give, two, because we give in loving obedience and response and thanksgiving to the gifts and promises that God has for us in our lives. But I think we also give because of the act of giving, there is this growth. There's this enrichment in our lives. There's this enrichment of the relationship that we have with our Father. In this trusting and giving relationship, there's, as Paul says, an increase in our harvest. There's this enrichment in our lives and this relationship of thanksgiving. And so let's hearken back to this image one more time as we talk about this enrichment and growth. If you've seen something like this at the pool before, and you've seen a little boy or a little girl jumping to mom or dad off the edge of the pool, you know that it's usually more than one jump, right? So it's one jump, and then there's the stairs that come out, and they jump again and again. And you might have experienced this as a parent. But you also know, as they're playing, as they continue to jump, mom or dad might take a step back, right? You know, and there's an increase in that relationship and in that trust. And then mom or dad might take two steps back. They're a little farther away. By the way, this is totally a side note, but I was looking up images for this, and I saw some really extreme ones of kids, like, laying out horizontal. Mom or dad can take, like, 10 steps back. Here's the point. As we experience the abounding love and grace of God that is ours in Jesus Christ, there's a change in us. There's a change in our hearts. And so we can jump. We can jump into the water because guess what? Dad jumped first. And we can continue jumping in the water because we know Dad's there to catch us. And even if we're too close to the edge and we kind of slip and fall, Dad's still there to catch us. It reminds me of the Apostle Peter when Jesus is out walking on the water in the Sea of Galilee and he sees him. He jumps out of the boat to come to Jesus. And then he sees the wind and the waves and all the fears and the concerns, and he starts sinking. And sometimes it can feel like we're sinking. And Jesus puts out his hand and lifts him back up. In giving, we grow in faith and we grow in trust as our God remains faithful to us. He'll always be there to catch us. The reality is when we talk about jumping into the pool, we're not jumping into an empty pool. Dad's there. So let's jump. Let's jump. Let us give as God has so generously given before us. Growing in grace, in love, and growing in generosity, as we experience the very same through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.